The Wisconsin Department of Transportation awarded a nearly $169 million contract yesterday for projects near Foxconn's site. The DOT has awarded a reconstruction project for the south segment of Interstate 94. It's what's happening on the transportation front as we talk Foxconn, which is preparing for phase one of building a manufacturing facility in Racine County. Talking Foxconn here on the morning show, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss stays with us. He's a Republican state representative from Rochester, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want Wisconsin's lawmakers to know as this project moves forward? You can call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Before we went to news break, we did talk a little bit about this report that came out that Foxconn was looking for perhaps a smaller footprint. It did say, though, it's committed to its $10 billion Wisconsin manufacturing facility, but there was this report about a plan of producing display screens for smaller electronics rather than large screens for television. Critics were quick to say that there will be fewer secondary jobs created for suppliers to the plant. So what is your take on this situation?
Well, it's frustrating to me that for so many on the left who hate the idea that President Trump is not always 100% successful with getting the facts out, to then take a report which the company and anyone associated with the project has said is not true and take that to be fact. It's really like commenting on, things that just don't matter because it's not going to happen. So let's just remember for everybody who has concerns what the facts are in the agreement. Number one, there are three different incentives that we are giving Foxconn to come to Wisconsin. The first incentive is they're not going to have to pay sales tax on the raw materials as they construct the facility. Well, I think it makes common sense that if they never construct the facility, there would be no sales tax collected. So that really has zero impact on the Treasury. The second subsidy that we're giving is actually based on construction-related jobs. They have to create 8,500 jobs between $30,000 and $100,000 a year through 2025 to access any part of the incentive that we're giving for the construction. Approximately 15% of the total $10 billion campus. So if they build a smaller percentage, they will get a smaller subsidy because it's all based on a $10 billion project.
It's scaled.
And the last one that we're giving, it's scale. And the last one that we're giving is actually based on wages. If they don't hire the 10,000 people, they are not going to get that. It's basically about $1.5 billion over 15 years, giving a percentage of the wages that are paid between $30,000 and $100,000 a year. So if they pay somebody $1 million, they don't get a subsidy on that. If they pay somebody less than $15 an hour, they don't get an incentive on that either. So the package is entirely focused on good-paying, family-supporting jobs, construction, and taxes that we wouldn't collect had they not come. So when the Democrats make this case that it's $4.5 billion, well, it's all based on performance. It's a performance contract. And the other thing is, don't forget that we are estimating $51 billion in economic activity just from the Foxconn site alone over the next 15 years, significantly more than the $4.5 billion Democrats talk about, which is an all-in number entirely based on performance at the maximum level.
Let's bring in some calls here. A number of people want to talk with you. Let's go to Steve joining us from Mount Horeb. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hi.
What's on your mind? Yeah.
Hi. Well, yes, I guess the first thing is that I'm really concerned that this is a out of the United States of America company from Taiwan. And it's like, wasn't there any other company that could come to Wisconsin from the USA to make a good new technology for the future? It could be energy related or something than other than TV or cell phone-related technology.
Steve, thanks for the call. Representative, what would you say there?
Well, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I want jobs to come back to America. Of course I want jobs from companies in Wisconsin or anywhere in the United States to grow, but I love the idea that we are onshoring manufacturing back to the United States. I think we saw an awful lot of good-paying jobs, union jobs, go overseas throughout the course of the past 30 years. And I love the idea that we are going to be the first liquid display manufacturing facility in the country because it was so much cheaper to do it overseas. So I guess maybe we just have a different perspective. I want every single job coming from a foreign country to the U.S., especially those that are family supporting, because I think that's what builds America.
Anne in Milwaukee called in to ask, of the jobs we're talking about here, how many will be taken by Foxconn employees transferring from elsewhere, and how many will be available for Wisconsinites?
Well, no Foxconn employees are employed in the United States right now, other than the few that are doing assembly at a small plants around the country. My understanding is that they are not transferring employees from other facilities, that the vast majority of those are new hires. There will be some managers who come because, of course, you have a manufacturing plant and you have to train people. But the vast majority of the jobs are going to be hired from people who will hopefully live in Wisconsin or close to the site, which is why, as I mentioned, the real estate market in Racine County is so amazingly hot because a lot of people understand this, and that's why they're moving to the area.
Let's go to Mike now in Baraboo. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question is, the implications of Foxconn as far as the environment, they're destroying the wetlands down in that area, taking the water from Lake Michigan. What kind of can of worms is that going to open up? Are we going to drain Lake Michigan by letting Foxconn and potentially other companies take that much water on a daily basis? And also, the amount of money that we've poured into the infrastructure in that area, or going to pour into that area, where the rest of the state obviously is crumbling apart, the bridges and the roads, that money could have been used much more wisely and helped out the whole state rather than just one small section of the state.
Mike, thanks for bringing those issues to the table. Representative, looking at first environmental and then looking at this asset more on a statewide level, that this is really being concentrated in a very specific area and the rest of the state is in the backdrop, not getting any, any impact.
Well, let's talk about transportation first, because the vast majority of the dollars that are going to this area are used for the reconstruction of I-94 north-south, which, frankly, Governor Doyle and Governor Walker have both talked about for the past 20 years. As you drive toward Chicago, there are, you know, 6 and 8 lanes in Kenosha, 6 and 8 lanes by the airport, and there is literally a bottleneck through Racine County that's being addressed, and it was already scheduled to be done. So that's where the vast majority of dollars go. Since 2010, the traffic on that section of the highway is actually 25% higher in the past 8 years. So there's a definite need whether or not Foxconn was coming. So the vast majority of the dollars are not coming from somewhere else in Wisconsin. They're actually going toward a project which both parties have agreed needs to be done. On the environmental aspects, no environmental laws or air quality, water quality standards were changed in this proposal. Every single federal law still has to be approved. That's why when we look at filling the wetlands, let's remember, this is not a wetland that you would think of in your head. This is farm fields. Almost the entire area has been farmed for the course of the past 100 years, which is why they were able to put most of the property together with minimal impact. So it's not a pristine wetland. It's farmland by and large. And also in this proposal, we have a requirement to replace every small area of wetland with 2 acres of wetland for every 1 acre they disturb. So when this project is finished, there are going to be more wetlands in Wisconsin than when it started.
Well, let's look at the in air quality for a moment. The EPA chief exempted most of southeast Wisconsin from the latest federal limits on smog pollution. And then there was Illinois' attorney general threatening a lawsuit over this. So what struck you there in terms of where we are with the air quality situation?
Well, that's another thing where Illinois and the hypocrisy of the attorney general suing us, when the DNR's own reports, once again produced under Governor Doyle and verified by Governor Walker's DNR, have said that more than 80% of the air pollution that we see in southeastern Wisconsin comes from Illinois. So I would love for them to actually work on controlling their own pollution, which is 80% of the problem, and allow us to be able to not breathe in all of the smog that comes up from Illinois because of their own inaction.
Let's go to Darren in Green Bay with some thoughts. Darren, hi.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I was just curious if you had any, concerns that we're going to be spending, these kinds of taxpayer dollars on a technology that may very well be outdated within 5 to 10 years.
Darren, thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
The good news for us is that the incentives are all based over the long term. So, yes, you always worry about companies changing, but Foxconn is the largest technology company in the world, so they are also adapting. As they have had their open houses, they have brought us in to show the technology that is next generation that's going to follow behind the cell phones that all of us have in our pocket and the computers that we use at work and home. So I have no doubt that a company that is, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue, you know, similar to something like a Microsoft or an Apple, they don't just sit back and wait for the technology to change and then they go out of business. They adapt to the times. And I am excited that a lot of the jobs that are coming to southeastern Wisconsin are actually in their research and development division. That's the vast majority of the economic impact that we're going to see. It's not the simple manufacturing and the simple packaging. It's also the research and development so that we are at the forefront to be at the next stage of technology with hopefully more and more good things happening all across the state.
Well, with Wisconsin having one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, what about finding the people to fill these jobs? Because there's been the rollout of the marketing and PR campaign in Chicago, Twin Cities. What are you finding there on recruitment side as to who will be filling these jobs?
And I'll be honest, I think that is the most legitimate concern that most people have is, are we going to have enough employees? Because in every part of the state, as I travel around Wisconsin, I hear the same story, that we have an awful lot of people who are, not able to fill the jobs that we have going wanting. I'm sure you probably saw the report last week that there are more job openings on the state's website than there are actually people to fill the jobs. The total number of unemployed is less than the total number of jobs. So in essence, everyone should be working. But I also know that there are places around the country where they don't have the same success that we do. I think that we're going to see, like happens with every huge opportunity, people will see it, they will come to Wisconsin, they will move here, they'll bring their kids here, they'll invest in our communities, and I think that's a good thing for the state. We don't want everybody moving to the south. We actually want a migration back to the good-paying jobs in places like Wisconsin. So I'm optimistic. I think that the marketing efforts are going to work over time, and that when you offer good-paying jobs with benefits, people will come, because that's the way the free market has always worked throughout our entire nation's history.
Speaker Voss, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Robin Voss is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Earlier, we spoke with La Crosse Tribune reporter Chris Hubbuck on the bridge weight limit situation in Wisconsin. This hour of the morning show was produced by Brianne Chasso, and Keely Baltina. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.
My name is Mike Chaplinsky, and I work in the Information Technology Department here at NPR. NPR could function without email or word processors or audio recording software. They exist only to serve the primary tool that a news organization has to get at the truth of any story it reports, the knowledge and judgment of its reporters, editors, and producers. This is more than just a means to deliver content. This is NPR.